Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Today, we are not only going to study more about the good fight, we just did it. That was a workshop. Because I saw God doing incredible things in each person's life that not only is here today and live streaming, but even on demand, when you hear this, it will occur. There are things happening in the spirit realm of breakthroughs because of the praise that you stopped the enemy that was attacking you, the Avenger.
Amen.
You will now be free to see the victories that you've been believing for.
Amen.
And standing on the word for.
Amen.
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 Because the time of the harvest is now.
Amen.
And no longer will you have to just be seeding and watering and watering and watering.
Amen.
Now is the time where you are going to reap because you have diligently been sowing.
Hallelujah.
And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Amen.
So God is commanding each of us to watch where we war.
Amen.
Not to spend our time in areas that are distractions. Not to spend our time fighting a loved one. Not having strife in your home.
Amen.
If you could see the demon of strife that brings warfare, you would never entertain it in your doors. Much less allow yourself to get upset at someone that you love. Because the unity of the faith is what brings power against the enemy.
Yes.
Because if two, only two, can take down 10,000 of those demons. Because if one can put 1,000 to flight, two, 10,000, we unify together are much more than 10,000 and can take down millions because it's exponential. Because we no longer want to see the enemy attacking us.
That's right.
Why should we allow the enemy to use us to attack our loved ones with any kind of strife? We have to discipline ourselves to say no more. Get out of our house, get out of our church, get out of our minds. Whatever thought that comes to your mind that's negative about something, I guarantee you did not come from God. And we have to have the discipline enough to know the warfare is also in our mind, and we have to fight the good fight in our mind, and we have to ask the Holy Spirit for help. Because how many times does Pastor Joshua have to tell us that we have to be people of gracious words? And many times when those words are not gracious, it doesn't matter how many affirmations you're doing, if after you do the affirmations, you're ungracious when you're talking to somebody.
That's right.
Those affirmations should build us up to walk in the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
So I am doing affirmations and asking the Holy Spirit to help me operate and walk in and be an example to those that I love, that even though I want to give them a piece of my mind, I just zip the lip and I say, Holy Spirit, help me because you really need to. And instead of telling him my opinion, I'm going to say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you helped me to walk in love, joy, peace, patience, goodness,
yes,
gentleness. How gentle are we when we're arguing? Faith, humility, and self-control to zip the lip.
Yep.
We've got to fight the enemy by seeing it in our home first. We have to practice on the ones we love the most because it's so obvious. The devil can sneak up on you. He's an old snake. He's an old serpent, all the way back to oldness of Genesis. And he slithered in there. And one thing I thought of was, why did Eve not run away from a talking snake? Is that weird? She just stood there and listened to it.
Yeah.
You know? And the devil will slither into your thoughts and make you think things that are not godly about your own life. You can't make it. You've been trying. You have to go to the doctor. God's word isn't good enough. It's not your medicine. So you need help from the doctor to help God's word. Come on. Don't be mad at the messenger bearer. I'm just telling you the word of God, because he said the word is everything for us. He is our all. He's our provider. It is the only thing that we need. Let's look at where we are and where we still need to get to. Let's purpose in our heart to fight the enemy of doubt and unbelief. To fight the lies of the enemy that say, you know what? You need to keep going to man for advice and help. Because we should be only going to God for everything we need. And if there are some areas in our lives we're not quite there yet, the Holy Spirit is fortifying us today in Jesus' name. He's helping us fight the good fight of faith. He wants us to make it. And you're doing really great. But he wants to catapult you to the next level. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's see how. All right? Are you ready?
Yes.
The overview. Our enemy, the devil, is also a thief that does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is stealing your health. He is killing your dreams of being totally free in every area of your life. He is trying to destroy your reliance on God's word, that he is only what you need and nothing else. However, Jesus has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly, according to John 10:10. In order to win a successful battle, we need to know that God is in the details. Knowing that fact helps us to fight the enemy so we can overcome and have an abundant life. Take a second. If you got a pen and paper, great. If not, note into your mind. What are the main five areas in your life that you do not see yourself in an overcoming mode daily? Daily. What are the five main areas you still need God to help you with to completely manifest overcome? I know by faith you have been healed. I know by faith that bank account should have more zeros than it does. I know by faith that where there is lack, you see provision. But unless it's manifest as where you can touch it and it's tangible, you need still the help of the Holy Spirit to have the completeness of that. This is where we're concentrating today. Make sense? We are going to see it this week. God's promises are true. This week. Where do you want complete success in these five areas? I don't know why God said five. I'm just telling you what he said. Now I want you to see victory. Close your eyes. I want you to see complete victory in all those areas, because that's the truth. I want you to see what the Heavenly Father sees. He sees it done, because Jesus said it's finished. And I want you to be able to receive it today through what the Holy Spirit is teaching. Okay? We're removing the roadblocks because it's already yours. But the transport truck is held up. But your answer is on that truck spiritually. Do you understand? It's yours. It's yours. Okay? We're going to remove the blockages today. All right, so we're going to read 1 Timothy 6:12. If you have your Bibles, I want you to look at this in your Bible. If it's on your phone app, or if you have a touchable Bible, tangible Bible. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:12. And we're going to read it the way that it is in the New King James. And then I'm going to decipher this with you. Okay, so we're going to do a little bit of study. And we're going to dig deep, and we're really going to get this in our spirit. Because when you get the spirit of the Word of God, the revelation, it will increase your faith by hearing the Word of God. And we're going to increase our faith because we have a mother load of blessings on the way. Okay? Yes. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That Greek word in the concordance is G, meaning Greek number 75. The Greek definition of that word fight is agonizome, to contend with adversaries, struggle with difficulties and dangers, to endeavor. But I don't see a lot of Christians doing this part. With strenuous zeal, instead of like being depressed or discouraged or giving up or complacent. This strife is when there's enemies warring, you see? And so if you have a fight coming against you in your life of anybody warring against you, arguing, debating, whatever, we need to do the rest of this command that God is telling us. He's not suggesting we fight. You know, we were conscripted, drafted into the army of God. If he's the captain of the Lord of hosts, the armies of heaven, we are now born again and part of his family. You know, just like in the nation of Israel, every man and woman must serve in their army. Well, someone's going to be your leader, either Jesus or the devil. We choose which master. And the fight has already been going on before you were born. We live in a battlefield called Earth. We are on the front lines. It is not going to be a cushy, peaceful life here. This is not our home. We are citizens of heaven. We have been called to battle for the Lord. And if you don't battle for him, the battle comes to you, against you. And I've seen too many defeated Christians and not victorious Christians, and that's not ABCers, is it? But we have to realize that we have to step it up, because we're in the end times, and those days are increasing worse and worse and more evil, right? We see the anarchy, the wars and rumors of wars. We see the earthquakes. We see all the stuff going on. We're watching and being vigilant so that we can hear every day the orders of our commander-in-chief, Jesus. We should be getting up every day and saying, Lord God, what do you want me to do for you today? Most people get up and say, I want to do this for myself today. We now have to realize that we have to go to him as our commander. And you know what happens when we seek him first? He gives us everything we need. He adds unto us everything. We need to give him our time. We need to give him our thoughts first. We need to give him our goal first. Let's take care of his goal instead of our goal. Then he'll take care of ours. Okay? So let's reorder our steps as never before. Let's go to that next level. Okay? So you need to obtain something through the fight. You want to obtain victory. You want to obtain what your promises of God are. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not going to happen. You just sitting there. And whatever you're doing isn't good enough if you haven't achieved your results. Let's reanalyze. Let's reassess. It may be partially what you're supposed to do, but what do you have to do to complete the victory? Because in the middle of a battle, we know what happens. Remember when Moses was overseeing a battle, and they were down there battling and he was up here and he had to hold his arms up so they would be contending with God's strength and help and winning and winning and winning and overcoming and overcoming, but it wasn't done yet. And he got tired and his arms came down and then a lot of them were getting slaughtered. The power of God was not being emitted through him. So Aaron and Hur had to like prop him up so the power of God through him could help with the battle. Praising. He was praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. We got to praise the Lord more. We got to praise the Lord more. Praising the Lord. It confuses the enemy. Praising the Lord and thanking him for what he has done for us. Praising the Lord helps us remember what he has already done and what he's continuing to do and what he's going to do tomorrow. Praising the Lord is acknowledging our God and letting him be the Lord of our battle. We got to raise our hands every morning to God. We have to remember that he is the one showing us how to win. And don't think that just because you have a formula and it worked before, it's going to work again, because now times are changed. You have to listen to God. You have to be led by the Holy Ghost. Because I keep reminding people, there are many Christians in the 9/11 towers that died, good Christians that died, but they couldn't hear the voice of God well enough and went to work like normal. There was a story of a Christian wife, and she begged her husband not to go to work that morning. Very diligent man, a very disciplined man. It was his job to provide for his family, and he thought it was godly to be on time, which it is. And so we're all endeavoring for that, right? But he's getting ready, and he's going to walk out the door as normal, and she pulls on him and says, God told me to tell you, don't go. Don't go today, honey. Don't go to work. And he says, that's absolutely ridiculous. You're too emotional. You got to get a hold of yourself. There's nothing wrong. I'm going to go to work. She says, no, you're not supposed to be going to work. I've been praying. And this morning, the Lord told me to tell your husband, do not go to work. He said, woman, I don't believe that. And he says, I'm just going to go. So he gets to work and he walks in the door some minutes late, not his normal time. And boom, the first plane hits. So what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? He didn't even go up into his office. He knew there was something wrong. He said, my wife is right. Runs out the door, saved his life. Which one do you want to be? The wife who heard or the husband who didn't hear? Which one do you want to be? The guy didn't have a wife and didn't hear anything. But he's dancing with Jesus today. Right? So we got to fight the devil who doesn't want us to hear God's voice. But I got to do my part, that I got to go sit at the feet of Jesus. I've got to go to the Holy of Holies. I've got to stop everything. And I have got to go consult with him. What is his will and not do mine? It will save your life to be led by the Spirit of God. You can't hear his voice, then you need to dig deeper and spend more time with him. And he will speak to you. And by the end of this, you will see how. Okay? So, let's go to the good. Oh, we're just on A1. Okay. Fight the good. Fight the good fight. Okay? And so, what is that definition of Strong's the good? G2570, the Greek definition, is kalos. Sound, whole, beautiful, excellent, goodness, usefulness, as to be pleasing, surpassing, precious, useful, suitable, commendable, admirable, magnificent. I want you to put yourself in that sentence. Follow me for a second. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
everything God made
is good.
I'm a good thing.
I'm I'm a good thing.
In the sight of God.
In
Jesus' name.
I am sound.
I am whole.
I am beautiful.
I am excellent.
I have goodness.
I have usefulness for God.
I want to please the Heavenly Father.
I surpass the world's expectation.
I
am precious in God's sight.
I am suitable for the Lord's use.
I am commendable.
Admirable.
And God in me is magnificent.
In Jesus' name.
Now do you understand how good the good is?
Yes.
And you are?
Good.
All right? So you are fighting the good fight of faith because you are righteous. And what you do is good when God uses you to do it. Because nothing he does fails. And what kind of fight are you fighting? Now, this is a little different than G75. It's G73. The Greek definition is ag-1, a place of assembly in which the Greeks assemble to celebrate solemn games like, you know, the Olympics. It's a contest of athletes, runners, and charioteers, you know, the ones that did the chariot races. Okay, so, and then we're going to see, it says, lay hold, we say faith, fight the good fight of faith. And we know that in this instance, G4102, Strong's Concordance Greek definition of faith is pistis, which is a conviction of the truth of anything, belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, and generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and conjoined with it. You cannot believe God unless the faith is then being utilized to trust that what he says is really true, and that you have such a conviction, a passion, that like a bulldog, nothing is going to be able to let it get out of your life. That you know, that you know, that you know, God is real. God is the only king to worship, and that his word will stand forever. That is the faith that you need to contend. Because if there's any doubt, if there's any unbelief, if there's any wavering, the battle can't be won. That hinders us. Okay? And so God wants us to get the fullness of what we need. But we have to really allow that to get into our heart. Okay? And then it says to lay hold on. So that's G1949, Strong's Concordance, the Greek definition. To lay hold on is epilambanomai. To take in addition, to lay hold of, to take possession of, to overtake, to attain, to seize upon anything with your hands. It means that when you lay hold on anything eternal, you grab it from the heavens and you bring it to earth and you use it against the enemy. Those five things you haven't laid hold of, your eternal blessing, and God wants you to grab it today. Amen. And we're going to reread this sentence like this. Bear with me. We're going to use some of these Greek definitions and we're going to replace it or augment this so you really get this in your spirit today. So we walk in this. We don't just hear it. We're going to go out and do it today as you already started doing it this morning in the praise and worship.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So, fight. Contending with your adversary, the devil. With strenuous zeal to obtain victory. And do it with the excellence surpassing any battle that anyone on earth has ever fought, because Jesus is with you. the fight as a God's champion greater than Olympians who are on the earth. And you use the faith, the conviction that it is true that the battle has already been won. Amen. So you go into the battle and the fight knowing who's ahead. And the fight is fixed by Jesus. Because he has victory. And you can't be swayed by the enemy no matter what it looks like in your bank account. No matter what your body feels like. No matter what you think that you need and don't have in the natural. You have that all in the spirit in Jesus' name. Because you lay hold and you seize from heaven today that which is yours. Because it's promised to us from God as the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, that eternal life, because you've been called to be warriors of God. You've been called to be ambassadors of Christ Jesus. And all of heaven's resources is yours. And if it doesn't exist, he will make it for you in the name of Jesus, that you are fighting the good fight of faith, laying hold on what's eternally yours in Jesus' name today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you got it. Now you have that mindset. Let's dig in deeper with this mindset. Stay with me. Number one, our eternal life began the day each of us accepted Jesus. According to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to each one of you. Because you who believe in him will never perish but have everlasting life if you keep holding on to Jesus. The day each of us received Jesus, we entered into the army of God, 2 Timothy 2:4. For no one engaged in warfare entangles him or herself with the affairs of civilian life, that you may please Jesus who enlisted you as a soldier. And we are going to please God more when we see the manifested victories, right? God is in the details to tell us how to do it his way, not our own way, according to Isaiah 55:8-9. Isaiah 55:8-9. My thoughts, God's thoughts, are not your thoughts, nor are his ways, God's ways, your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, God's ways, higher than your ways, and my thoughts, God's thoughts, than your thoughts. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, we need to have your thoughts on what's going on in today's life. So give us higher thoughts today, right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Number four, the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, is an acronym meaning your basic instructions before leaving earth. So why do we not have our nose in it every day? Our instruction manual, we need it. Number five, qualities in the details, Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Doesn't matter what the doctor's lab report says. Good report is what the Bible says, that you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, mutter over and over in your mind only these things. And if anything else is coming in there, kick it out by praising God for your victory.
Amen.
The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you always.
Hallelujah.
B, the fight is now.
Yes.
The Marines are always fighting or training to fight. That's where we are. Mm-hmm. That's why we're always studying the word over and over and over. Number two, we must always fight the devil to get what belongs to us away from him. The God of Mammon, we are reclaiming, subduing, taking dominion. And if you don't have dominion over those five things, today, know it's yours. Today, have it in your heart, not just in your head. You have that victory. The devil has no legal right to what's yours. He stole it. I see him with it. I'm grabbing it back and seizing it.
Amen.
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 So in the name of Jesus, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So stop bickering with people you see in the flesh. It's the demons causing them to say something, to aggravate you, get on your nerves, offend you, whatever. Ignore those demons. Walk in love.
Amen.
Let your response be lovely.
Yes.
Come on, let's act like Jesus.
Amen.
You can do it. God can help us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because if we get offended, if we get in unforgiveness, if we get in fear, you've opened up the armor of God so that you are not being covered by it. And the fiery darts of the wicked one can pass through the armor and hit you, and you make yourself vulnerable to the enemy. I have to stay in the kingdom of God by being sin free. We all have to. Do we fall short of the mark? Yeah, but you know what? We can confess our sins. Hallelujah! And now I say, Lord, these prayers are 24/7. That in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sins that I, you know, have committed. So according to 1 John 1:9, you're faithful and just to have forgiven me of the sins that I did confess. And so you have cleansed me of all unrighteousness, unknown sins, and sins of my ancestors. And so 24/7, I just believe that I'm already cleansed in Jesus' name. So if I blow it, devil, you have no right to my life. I'm a loving, forgiving person. Get your hands off of me. In Jesus' name. Tell the devil to get his hands off of all five of those areas, because you are a loving, forgiving person, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He has no right to you, and you take back from him what he has tried to steal from your life, that he has stolen from you. Take it back. And it comes through your attitude, it comes through your faith, and it comes by knowing who you are in Christ Jesus and acting upon it. Acting upon the word isn't just going and fixing something with your hands. Acting upon the word is also your attitude of when you stand up to the devil, because when those demons see you, they should see Jesus in you and run from you as they run from Jesus and bow to his name. I tell you to bow in the name of Jesus in every area, those five areas, and all the other areas that we need help in. You demons, devils, evil spirits, bow to the name of Jesus and get under our feet right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Remember when I saw that evil spirit try to come in my room, when you heard the story, when I was young, freshman in Bible college, went to some friend's house for the weekend out in the desert, no lights on the streets, I mean way out in the boonies. So when they turned the light out, it was dark. I could not even see my hand in front of my face. Of course, in those days, I was really scared of the dark. I don't know if any of you have experienced that, but I'm admitting it, confessing my sin before all men. I'm not afraid now, because I know that the light of God is in me and it dispels darkness. But then I didn't know as a young student. And those little hamsters, because I was staying in the little brother's room, was in this little wheel. And you know when animals sense something? And you know your dogs, your cats, your pets, your whatever kind of sense something, even before an earthquake, they're like nervous or whatever. And this wheel started going, ee. They're supposed to be sleeping at night. Ee. And pretty soon, I knew something was wrong. And then, you know, your eyes adjust to the darkness. And then you see this white door with the doorknob, and the doorknob's turning. And it's going, and I'm like, dear Lord Jesus, I hope it's the little boy. He forgot his pajamas or something. I don't know. You know, the doorknob's turning. And it goes, just like a movie. And it opens up. And I look, I'm in a bunk bed. You know, I'm in the bottom bunk bed. I look out. It's this tall demon, at least, you know, 12, 13 feet tall, just like in the movies, in this black robe, couldn't see his face. The robe was over the face, but it was a human-like figure, long sleeves like Merlin, with a sickle in his hand. That ain't good. Sickle means death. Oh God, that's not good. And I was in the choir, you know, and I always said, heard Sing praise songs whenever you're scared or whenever there's a demon, or just praise God, worship God, you know, because demons don't like the praises of God, and God inhabits the praises of his people. So I'm about to sing, and it's like, nothing was coming out. This paralyzing fear jumped on me, literally. I couldn't breathe, and I'm sweating, you know, cold sweat, because I'm like so scared was a challenge. And I'm seeing this thing now walking into the room with the sickle. Oh, Lord. I'm thinking, Jesus, help me. I'm thinking, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, that's all I could say in my mind. Jesus, help me. Jesus. And all of a sudden, my mouth said, Jesus, help me. I was like, where'd that come from? Thank you. And then I heard myself say, bow to the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. And I'm thinking as a student, I must have read that one time. That's a good scripture. Just came out of my spirit. And I see the demon do this. And reverse out of the room and disappeared. And that woman of faith, you know what I did? I ran and turned on the light. And the door was still open. Amen. Oh God, it wasn't a nightmare. It actually happened. The door was open. And I said, and you could have closed the door on the way out. We need to contend with the enemy. And people would say, I don't want to see it. Ask for the discerning of spirits. Ask for the Holy Spirit to help you operate all the gifts of the spirits. Because if you see it, you know it's there. Some people sense it. Some people say, I don't want to see roaches. Well, then you don't know they're there. You won't exterminate them. Some people in Texas, they wear those pointy-toe boots so they could just get them in the corner. Get them under their feet. You need to get the devil out of your house, out of your mind. Contend with him. Spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we got to wrestle. It doesn't say you are exempt from wrestling. The minute that you took the seal of redemption of being born again, you became the enemy of God's enemy. But you're on the winning side. We're now learning how to be better winners. Okay? Spiritual warfare, 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every what? Thought. Every what? Thought. Every what? Thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So where do you have to win the battle first? We know in the mind, but are you doing it in every area? No, we're not. You need to analyze on those five things where you are not bringing to captivity the thoughts that's not yours. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, amplified. For though we walk and live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God. You have mighty weapons, use them. For the overthrow and destruction of strongholds on the five things on your list. And inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings in every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And Ephesians 6, 11 through 20. So we need to every day in our minds know that we have on, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the temptations or the sneaking up on you or the seven worshipers trying to come back of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You are not wrestling and arguing with your loved one. You are arguing with the demons trying to make you annoyed, and don't take the bait to get offended. Like Pastor Sarah says, let it just drop off you like water flowing off a duck's back. Just don't let it penetrate. Just Okay, I'm going to forgive them. Okay, I'm not going to get in this battle. My battle's against the demons, not against this person. My battle's against the demons, not this person. My battle's against the demons, not the challenge that I'm seeing. I'm going to wrestle them and bind them up in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Do you see? We have to analyze every thought. You have to analyze it. Identify your sins. What sins am I doing? I have to identify what demon is speaking in my ear and wrestling with my mind to make me try to do that thing again. Because, you know, it says that your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Oh, no, it's not in Jesus' name. I'm telling my flesh to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm not going to have a weak flesh anymore in Jesus' name. My body has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My mind is the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That I am going to think the thoughts of God in Jesus' name. And I'm going to reject, because of the discerning of spirits that Holy Spirit is helping with me, reject the thoughts that seem good that aren't good, because it's not God and the devil is trying to trick me as an angel of light. I'm not going to give in to it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I put on that whole armor of God. I stand against all the wiles of the devil. I do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers and rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, I take up the whole armor of God, that I may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Therefore, girding my waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, because where my feet take me is where I'm going to be fulfilling my destiny, or I'm going to be forfeiting it because I'm not following the Holy Ghost. I would rather follow him. I'd rather say, God, what are you blessing? Just like Jesse DePlantis, and I know it's going to be good and blessed, instead of asking God, do you think that you could bless this? And maybe he's not gonna. Let's find out what he's blessing and let our feet go with the good news. And above all, we take the shield of faith, wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Are we always praying in prayer and supplication in the Spirit? Are we always watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints? And for me, just like Paul was writing this, that utterance may be given to each one of us, that we may open our mouths boldly to wherever we go, willing to minister to whoever God wants us to minister to, the mystery of the gospel for which we are ambassadors. Number five, we do not seek the assembly of the brethren, especially in the last days approaching. You know, it's scarce pickings on Friday night. You need to be here, because at the time that Pastor Joshua gets a word from the Lord, or any of the pastoral staff or ministers that are pertinent to what is about to come, you don't want to miss that word, especially if the Lord says, go get emergency supplies tonight, and the next day some disaster happens and the people that weren't here didn't hear it, or people weren't live streaming. Don't miss. We are in treacherous waters. I never been White River rafting. I did not want to fall over in the water. But the people who go, like my family did, they have a guide in that raft. And he knows where to take that raft so it won't overturn. And he knows how to avoid all the boulders and the cliffs, you know, the waterfalls. So, you know, you don't go down a waterfall in a raft, not a good thing. You know, keep going on the river. But the people said, I'm going to do my own raft. Well, guess what happened to most of them? You know, it overturns, they get swept out, they have to get rescued. Some of them never get rescued, because when they say swift water, it's very swift, and it takes them out to sea or whatever. Let's let the Holy Spirit guide us in these end times. And we need to rely on our pastor, and we need to be praying that our pastor hears the voice of God so clearly, better than before. Before was good, but it has to get, you know, he's a good pastor. It's got to get gooder, okay? We really have to hone in on this, because, you know, we have never navigated through these waters before, right? So don't be scarce. We should be populating more. We should be hungering on after righteousness and to have the passion to hear from God and from heaven so that we make it through until we ourselves get to hear so clearly, more clearly than we are now, right? We can always get to that next level, right? Okay, so do not forsake the assembly of the brethren, especially as the last day approaches. Remember, I did not get paid for that commercial, okay? Pastor did not say, please try to get more people in the church. No, I know that I want to be here, or I live stream when I'm not here, or I go on demand and do the video or whatever because I don't want to miss out what God is doing. So Hebrews 10:25, it's very important, especially as the last days approach. I did not, you know, put that in writing. It's in the Bible already, in the Amplified. Especially as the last days approach, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. Do you think God put that in there as a suggestion or as a command? Or something to save our lives? Something to help us be overcomers and not like the people who had no knowledge that went into the 9/11 towers, right? Okay, the smart ones. And so the Amplified Version says of Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing by warning, urging, and encouraging. And that's the words that we're going to be getting from the pulpit. One another, and you may get words from the Holy Spirit that you need to be telling the rest of us. God wants to use you, okay? So don't hold back. And all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Number six, the engrafted word of God will set us free, James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. That word of God has to get so into us that we become one with the word. Not just the doer of it because we're purposing to do it, but because it's an autopilot and it's now our new default system. And when someone stubs their toe, no curse words come out. But I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Devil, get back under my feet. This is a lie of the devil. My arm's not broken. My shoulder's not dislocated. This is a lie of the devil. It's so weird that last week I had a fall too. I go up to help my parents, and I was sitting on a chair in the office at a separate desk to do some work for my mom. And the you know, office chair has wheels. I've been up there for years and years and years, no problem. And it felt like someone literally pulled the chair out. I'm going to sit. And before I actually sit, it was like someone zipped the chair away from me. And I fell right on the floor instead of the chair. With my wrists and my tailbone down. And I'm on the phone at the same time. And this person on the other line, it was my mother. She wasn't home and she wanted to, you know, how this and this and that was going. Mom, hold on, I just fell. And then my husband was there with me and he heard the commotion and he runs into the home office and he says, honey, are you okay? And the Lord says to me, do not say a word. Do not curse yourself or it will happen. And I felt like the challenge was both my wrists were broken. My hands were going like this. The pain was so excruciating, shooting all up into my arms. All of a sudden, my hands and my wrists started ballooning up three times the size. And he said, how are you? I said, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm not cursing myself. Amen. Do you need help up? Right. I said, no. I turned over on my knees. And I got up and he tried to kind of, you know, at least make sure I didn't fall back down. I said, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Devil, get off of me. And whatever is trying to attack me, you go in the name of Jesus. And I says, okay, who offended me? Where did I have unforgiveness? What happened here to open up the door to the devil? I had to put the video on rewind. And sure enough, I was annoyed at somebody. Mm-hmm. And I had to say, that little thing cause this. Okay, demons, you're paying for it. I'm punishing you. You're not getting away with this. So I had to repent. I had to confess my sin, repent, renounce, break. I received my forgiveness. My unknown sins were cleansed. I renounced, bound up, broke off, asked the Holy Spirit to fall fresh back on me, and with the power of that anointing, I put the devil in his place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was praising the Lord today, right? Hallelujah. I'm driving. I do whatever I need to do. I even had to fix my hair, train it the other side. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. The battle is real. Amen. And someone says, oh, does that mean they were just trying to pretend that your wrists were broken? Not necessarily. See, if the devil actually does damage, you don't receive the damage. He can't perpetrate. That's right. And as soon as the Word of God gets a hold of the healing, it starts to receive the manifestation of whatever the devil is trying to do. You can't speak out what you see. You will receive it. If that's what you want, say it. But if it's not lining up with the Word of God, don't. The battle, the good fight of faith, it has to be here of excellence. You have to grab hold of what is yours in heaven, or you will not be able to see the victory in every area of your life. And we're going to stop right here. I don't know how long this is going to take to finish, but I really want to get in the meat of this message because it's necessary. Amen. So in the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare that each one of you has already had a breakthrough because you stomped on the devil this morning. And that you now have a conviction of who you truly are in Christ to a deeper level. And the devil cannot lie to you anymore. Amen. And you are an overcomer and super conqueror, fighting the good fight of faith in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes, thank you.